هری کریشنا هری کریشنا 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 کلمه ای فهمی خواهید Okay, greeting from the Jagadharma, chapter 3. Please tell me, La Hari, please tell me what one should do in order that Bhagavad Bhajan should appear. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnana Jana Shalapaya Saksur and Militam Yena Sajmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Upakazamayam Siddhāti-sāpa-dham-sikam Vanchakalpa-turubhyascha Sipa-sindhu-vayedhasha Atitanam-bhāvanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo-nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu-nityānanda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Vivasa-de-gaur-bhakta-bunda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare So we are continuing. I think it's going to get real exciting here because it's just very, very practical instructions about bhakti. But we're, first of all, greetings from Vrindavan and gaining an appreciation for Vrindavan. Even though there's been urbanization, people ask me if, you know, how does this affect you? I just feel that as I become more experienced in Krishna consciousness, despite the external covering, I'm able to enter deeper and deeper into Vrindavan. Satchinandana Swami once told me that somehow if you have that determination, there's always some door that opens up to a kind of a secret place that, and, we saw that visiting this place called Tatiastan, which is about 5-10 minute water ritual ride on the far side of Vrindavan, the exact opposite side from our temple. And sadhus in the Nimbark, some Padai from the four Kumaras, through Swami Haridas, they preserve the original Vrindavan. There's no electricity. And they worship the land of Vrindavan. They even have like a, on their property, maybe a 1 acre part. It's all just pure grudge dust. Sand. They even clean the sand. And there's a forest part that's just so sublime. And they, people in their tradition, even though they're really old sadhus, they're trained in classical singing. And now the artik, it's really something to behold. And the temple room itself, it's like a structure for the darshan, but other than that, it's just pure. I think they sift it and replace it with pure grudge, the dust of Vrindavan. Very soft sand. So it was quite really inspirational that thus the Vrindavan gives you prema. It helps open your heart to Raja Bhakti. It's such a wonderful thing. Anyway, the story takes us to another holy place, which I'll be going to on the 29th, to Sridharmayapur. And within Sridharmayapur, one of the islands is Gotrin Dweep. And this is the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness right in the generation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a particular person coming who's an aristocratic landowner and a very, very beautiful singer, a little bit proud of that. And now we're following his path as he's becoming enlightened in Krishna consciousness, which is to hear from a guru and get one's doubts cleared. Because doubts close the mind. And the process of bhakti is opening one's mind to the absolute reality. If you don't have faith in what that is, you won't open your mind to it. You don't have faith on the process to contact it, you won't apply that process. So one has to get the right ideas and the inspiration to do it. We don't yet have full faith, otherwise we'd be chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, even if we're working. Just when I was at that ashram, someone said, the eyes blink. One sadhu was telling you, the eyes blink. You know, it's involuntary. See, so that way, when you dedicate yourself to Krishna consciousness, the tongue moves, the mind moves towards Krishna. And then we went, you know, their system is you go to Artik. And after Artik, they distribute Mahaprasad, Chandan from the deities, and Charanamrita in different places. And it's real brudge. It's the local people, and it's the sadhus. And it's very, very deeply devotional. And then after that, it's a nice system. After the Artik, it's about 10 o'clock, the guru sits for 2 hours. And he has his own little courtyard in that complex. And he sits on a stand, the asasan, you know, just about a foot high, and has a little covering. So it's like a little open room. And then everyone greets the guru. They get blessings, or if they have questions. So I just sat there. I went with Madhavananda and Krishna Kun from Bhuvaneshwar. We work together on a retreat. And I go with Srimati, very, very saintly lady who lives in Vrindavan, with intense, very intense spiritual aspirations and practices. Another lady called Vajasevaka. She's a very saintly lady from Switzerland who, anyway, we all went down there and we sat and we just watched. It's a very nice system because then every day people can see the guru. Even just to offer respects or get, you know, a few words. He would give initiation very simply, just tie the neck beads on someone, whisper into their ears. A few people come like that. So, and the guru, he just lived there. No electricity. And they have their own goshala. Whole complex must be about 4 or 5 acres. which is within Vrindavan proper, well, it's quite a beautiful place. And then someone asked the guru, how can you get Braja Bhakti into the heart? So he had a very interesting answer. He said that in Sanskrit, the word for heart is man. He said, but man also is a weight. It equals 40 kilos. So he said, if you put man, a heart, on one side of a scale, right, you put 40 kilos, then you have to fill up the other part of the scale until, you know, with whatever it is, equal until it equals that, and then you can get it. So he said the same thing in terms of Braja Bhakti. On one side of the scale is Braja Bhakti, but if you want to purchase it, on the other side of the scale, you have to put in intense spiritual endeavor. You got to put that in. And that's the goal of life, to organize our life in a way that we really see the necessity and importance of that while living in the world. So here, this Mahahari is learning what fundamental Krishna conscious philosophy is, and he's learning that to practice Krishna consciousness, you have to have a deep understanding, not a scholarly understanding. It's a difference. You can be a scholarly understanding without a deep understanding. You have to have a deep understanding of God. And that means understanding his relationship with his energies. And Babaji Maharaj makes it very clear, you have to be a scholar to be a Vaishnav, but you have to have a guru to be a Vaishnav. And that guru can impart this sambandha gyan, this proper knowledge by his words and his behavior. And that is what diksha and siksha is. When you commit yourself to that, from understanding by the words and behavior of the guru, that is known as diksha and siksha. So Mahari asked then, what should one do? And now he comes to the next thing, because once you have the knowledge, then what do? So that's the other category of knowledge. The first category of knowledge is metaphysical knowledge, and the second, it's called sambandha gyan, and the second category of knowledge is abhideya gyan, the means of realizing that. So he said, what should I do? What the means? So he said, you should behave properly and you should practice. You should maintain virtuous conduct or regulative principles and perform Krishna bhajan. You should chant Hare Krishna. This is known, he says, as abhideya tattva, the means to achieve the ultimate goal of praying. And this has been described, he explained, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya elaborately. So Lahari feels that I can take shelter at lotus feet. I've heard this. I'm receiving this sambandha again. And then he says, by that, my deep-rooted samskaras, my persona, you have to get rid of your persona eventually. your identifications. Okay, you may have those identifications, and you may engage those identifications, but you should limit your ultimate identity based on those designations. So he says that they're really subsiding by your mercy, and now be merciful and instruct me about Abhidhaya Tattva. Then Babaji explains, okay, there's no worry about this. You're developing this humility, and that means that God's mercy is there. When you surrender to the Guru, it's a sign of humility. Because humility means relinquishing authority, ultimate authority. Someone who's humble has no qualms about being guided by truth and the person who possesses that truth. And so Babaji explains that this sadhu sangha, that's the only means of deliverance. And these sadhus, instruction, how to practice Krishna consciousness, and on the basis of that, one attains the supreme goal. So the Abhideya is sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice. Now we're going to get into some very, hopefully, some very interesting and deep points. Take a little while here. So Babaji says, he's asked, what should one do? That this bhajana, this devotional practice to God, should appear. And Babaji says, Hari Bhajan means bhakti. Bhakti is the means. And what's the means? Hari Bhajan. Worship of Lord Harini. And this is done in three stages of bhakti. The stage of practice, sadhana. The first dawning of divine love, bhava. And the mature state of divine love, prema. Bhava is called prema ankur. Ankur means a sprout. When it begins to sprout, that's bhava. And when it matures, it's called prema. And sadhana is to attain bhava. You do sadhana with the objective. To do something. Sadhana is the actions that one performs geared to taking this bhava. This is the goal. The goal is this transformation of heart, which is a transformation of heart, but it's also the mercy of Krishna, which he doesn't give often, because if you get that mercy, you get that bhava, then naturally your love controls Krishna. That's the glory of Krishna, and that's the glory of one who has that love. So the Hari says, please instruct me, what are the different types of sadhana and how are they performed? He's interested. Babaji Maharaj replies, Rupa Goswami has described this subject very elaborately in his book, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I will relate it to you in brief. There are nine types of sadhana, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Apadabedam. The nine primary limbs of devotion are hearing, chanting, and remembering, serving his lotus feet, worshiping him with various types of paraphernalia, offering prayers, serving him in the mood of an exclusive servant, serving in the mood of an intimate friend, and offering one's very self unto him. These nine types of sadhana bhakti are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Srupa Goswami has analyzed these nine in terms of their various parts and subdivision. He's given an elaborate description of 64 types of sadhana bhakti. There's basically nine. There's chanting and hearing and remembering. There's humble service, there's deity worship, there's prayers, there's the mood of an intimate servant, there's the mood of an intimate friend, and then there's a conviction to give everything. And these are going to be described, but there's subdivisions of these. Srupa Goswami is collected, and there's 64 practices of devotional service. Of course, the main practice is to focus the mind on Krishna. This is the way it's done. And the best practice for you is the practice which absorbs the mind the most, because that absorption is the opening of the consciousness to the effect of the spiritual object, which influences you to be attracted to that spiritual object, and that is called bhakti. Bhakti is best expressed as seva, which is loving responsiveness to the world through the faculties of the mind, body, and words. This loving responsiveness to the divine, which reflects on everything. And that's who we are. We're a particle of consciousness which achieves its fruition in this kind of incredible love. These nine types of sadhana bhakti are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Rupa Goswami has analyzed these nine in terms of their various parts and subdivisions. Okay, there is one special characteristic. Sadhana bhakti is as of two types, vaidhi sadhana, impelled by the rules and regulations of shastra, and raganuga sadhana, impelled by spontaneous love. So it's not so much a difference in practice, but it's more a difference in the motive and faith in doing the practice. When you're doing it because you know you should do it, that's more or less vaidhi. It's not a spontaneous attraction, but when you're doing the activity out of a natural attraction, that's called raganuga. And naturally, obligation and duty binds us to rules. Because it's not coming from the heart, then we have to try to understand what's the best way to fix our mind on Krishna. When your mind is fixed on Krishna, it's not so bound to the rules. It's bound to the pleasure of Krishna wherever you feel it. Although, when one has spontaneous love, sometimes he becomes even stricter in those kind of practices. Because his inspiration is, how should I love Krishna? What is the best way to love Krishna? So, not that one doesn't become strict, he becomes stricter in ways. But he's not guided by rules. His faith is not that I attend a particular function, Mangalarti, and the benefit will be of following the rule I attend Mangalarti. Where Raganuga is more, you're attending it out of your love, and the benefit is in your absorption. Person invitee, if he only feels the benefit is if the conch shell blows and I finish the obligation. Where someone in Raganuga, as Prabhupada said, he's more enthusiastic. And real bhakti is Raganuga bhakti. Real bhakti is not just obligation and duty, but it's our natural inclination to serve Krishna and love Krishna, which means a particular relationship with Krishna, because love is manifest in relationship. So, These nine types of bhakti refer to vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Raganuga sadhana consists of internal service to Krishna in the mood of the internal residents of Vraja and hearing exclusively to their guidance. The sadhaka should practice the type of sadhana bhakti for which he is eligible. So the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, explain when one has that spontaneous love, an attraction to serve Krishna in a particular way, how does he cultivate it? Well, he meditates on someone who has that type of love and sees how they please Krishna and meditates on pleasing Krishna in that way. He has an attraction to serve Krishna as a parent. He meditates on Mother Yasoda and sees how she pleases Krishna. And he follows that. He follows what? That rag. It was called Raganuga. One follows that particular rag. And Rupa Goswami gave some guided meditations on how to do that. The Goswamis wrote many, many books on how to do these kind of meditations. One is chanting Hare Krishna, and he's remembering Krishna, and remembering those devotees who have served Krishna as exemplars in the mood that one's aspiring for. And one's practice has a longing for that mood, legitimately, because it's something that's awakened in the heart. And therefore, that's what one wants, that type of relationship with Krishna. How is adhikari eligibility determined in regards to sadhana bhakti? How do you know what practice you're eligible for? Of course, I should say right now that our practices and the Prabhupada gave us is not pure vaidhi bhakti, because there's such a contact with Krishna's pastimes and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and there's such a contact with songs and stories from the Tulsi prayer, which is in the mood of Raganuga. More abilas, vilas, quinje diovas. Mayame haivi bosada yugala rupasi. Namo, namo. More ye tamara saranoi, taravancha punahoi, kripa kori karotari pindavata nasi. More abilas. When I'm praying, I'll be in the kunjas of Vrindavan and see the divine couple. So our practices connected with the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of the meditation and cultivation of spontaneous devotion following in those souls that have that mood. But to the extent that we are not spontaneous, and that the extent that the mind left to its desires will choose to engage within the material world, to that extent, one has to put himself under the rules and regulations very strictly to keep the mind engaged in Krishna's service. The spiritual master considers that a faithful sadhaka is fit to remain under the rules and regulations of Shastra. He will first instruct an invitee sadhana bhakti. When he considers that a sadhaka is eligible for Raganuga bhakti, he will instruct him how to perform bhajan according to Rag Marg. This is true, but it's also how it's done is that it should be done, that the guru should guide a disciple in Braja Bhakti. That's the principle. And what it is the principle. How it's done is a little bit more in detail. It's a little bit more in detail. And certainly from Srila Prabhupada, he's given us Vrindavan and Mayapur. He's given us Radha Krishna deities to worship. He's given us Chaitanya Charitamrita to read. He's given us the Hare Krishna mantra to chant. So as one's aspirations for spiritual life mature, then those aspirations will naturally mix with these particular chant Hare Krishna in a particular way. You'll worship the deities in a particular way. You'll visit Vrindavan in a particular mood. Prabhupada gave us the foundation of principles, and also the whole platform of bhakti is based on seva bhav. It's based on the mood of service, because without the mood of service, humble service, you can't actually understand, let alone be attracted to, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. You really have to be firmly fixed in the lens of seva bhav, in the mood of service. If you don't have the mood of service, you don't have devotion. And therefore, more important than thoughts of Krishna are legitimate yearning for Krishna. Because the thoughts can so easily be filtered through the mundane intelligence. Of course, the yearnings, but the legitimate yearnings. And therefore, in Valap Kushmanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami, he showed us that we don't have to meditate on being participants in Krishna's lila, but we can meditate on that lila and hanker to be a servant of that lila and cultivate that mood. Because aspirations drive everything. We are just reading this story by Akura going to Vrindavan. And we see he attains Krishna, and we see his preparation. It's our aspiration. We have to be so careful that those aspirations are for service and not enjoyment. Because it's so easy to enter into the meditation of Krishna's leelas and pastimes as a way for us to enjoy and control the world, basically speaking. And then that type of meditation becomes, very frankly, becomes quite useless or even detrimental. Lahari, how is Adhikari recognized? One is eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti when one desires to worship Sri Hari according to the rules and regulations of the Shastra. He has Shastriya Shraddha, so important. He has faith that this prescription for my life will give me the highest sublimity, will lead me to attain the highest goal. So that's a wonderful thing. So it's an understanding. And it's a wonderful understanding. And you become eligible when you get this desire that the highest sublimity is to worship Krishna. And has not yet experienced the principle of spontaneous attraction in the Dhamma. So he doesn't have that. I am serving Krishna in a particular way. One is eligible for Raghunuga Bhakti when a spontaneous inclination for Hari Bhajan has awakened in his Atma, and he does not wish to be subservient to the rules of Shastra in his worship of Lord Hari. In other words, he doesn't want to do things out of obligation and duty. It's not that he won't follow rules or regulations. But the reason he will follow them will be very much different. He'll follow things that give Krishna pleasure. And that can only be regulated to a certain degree. Prabhu, please determine my adhikari so that I may understand the principal eligibility. I have not yet been able to grasp your analysis of Vaidhi and Raghunuga Bhakti. So good. If you haven't understood this yet, it's because, as said here, it's a very, very deep subject. And one has to have a certain prerequisite frame of reference to actually see the spirituality, the deep spirituality in love with it, and not project our own mundane conceptions on the forms that we may be meditating on. I think Babaji said, if you examine your heart, you will understand your own eligibility. Do you think that bhajan is not feasible without adhering to the tenets of Shastra? Lahari, I think it would be most beneficial to engage in sadhana and bhajan according to the rules outlined in the Shastras. Nowadays, however, it has occurred to me that Hari Bhajan is an ocean of rasa. Gradually, by the power of bhajan, I will be able to taste that. Rasa, Babaji, you can now understand that your rules of Shastra take precedence in your heart. Therefore, you should adopt the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. In due course, the principle of Rag will awaken in your heart. So this is very nice. That if the attraction is not spontaneous, but if you're under the guidance of Guru, and by your obligation and duty, of course, there's different degrees of spontaneous attraction. It's not just that you're just into the rules or just into, well, you're just into spontaneous attraction, that's for sure. It can become spontaneous. But he says that by doing this, by regularly studying the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, by regularly visiting the Dham, by regularly worshipping the deities and associating with advanced devotees, then naturally your attraction to that will grow more and more. On hearing this, Lahari Mahasai touched Babaji's feet. With tears in his eyes, he said, please be merciful and instruct me in that which I am eligible. I don't want to discuss or contemplate anything for which I am not qualified. So he doesn't want to discuss things and contemplate things which he's not qualified because he won't be able to understand them. Because it takes a certain faith, a certain mindset, a certain advancement. And I'm here in Vrindavan, I see so many people artificially, beyond their eligibility, meditating on deep things, and basically there's hardly any benefit in that. Babaji Mahasaya embraced him and told him to sit down. Lahari then humbly said, please instruct me clearly as to which type of bhajan I should perform. You should practice Hari Bhajan, replied Babaji Maharaj. Srinam Bhajan is more powerful than other forms of Bhajan. There's no difference between the Nam, the holy name, and Nami, Bhagavan who possesses the holy name. If you chant Nam without offense, you will very quickly attain all perfection. So, Nam is so powerful that it will bring you to the lotus feet of Krishna. And as you chant Nam, more and more the spontaneous desire in your heart will awake. So if one commits himself, even out of obligation and duty, chant the Hare Krishna mantra and do it without offense, then he will rise to the platform of spontaneous devotion. Lord Chaitanya met his guru, Ishwar Puri, after he was criticized by Prakasananda Saraswati, the great Mayavadi sannyasi, for being so spontaneous. He came to his guru and he said, like, I'm just wild with emotions and I'm being criticized. And I really want to know if it's okay. He said, yes, this is the goal of life. You're chanting like a madman. It's the goal of life. And by this, certainly, you will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And that this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. That if you can chant the holy name and purify yourself and eventually awaken a relationship with Krishna and then chant in that mood of devotion, then you will achieve the absolute perfection. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail. Yeah.
It was a very nice class. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
I do have a question. Yeah, my question refers to when you were making a distinction between a scholarly understanding of God and the deep or imagined a realized understanding of God. And so can you just tell me what a scholarly understanding of God looks like?
Understanding of God is you know all the stories, you know all the verses, you know all the tattvas, but you don't practice and you don't understand them very deeply. As opposed to someone who just listens to his guru and listens to the points of who is God, who is Krishna, and what is surrender. And surrender is very, very deeply. One time, and I had that Sherborne gathering of scholars and young people in academia. So one person gave a class. He gave a presentation at ISKCON Needs Theologians. Now, I couldn't agree more that ISKCON needs theologians. They need people who are versed in Vaishnav history, philosophy, culture, and therefore can help apply the principles of Krishna consciousness in an ever-changing world. First of all, they have understanding of the principles. They have understanding of how historically things, so many things. I couldn't agree more. But the person was making the point that a guru has to be this type of theologian. You know? And it was going on for a while. I wasn't sitting with the presentation completely. Although a guru does have to be able to clear someone's doubts, so he should have sufficient knowledge to do that. But Pradyumna said, Pradyumna was a scholar, said, no, that's not exactly what he was saying to this person. He said, no, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said a person needs some Bhagavad. And if he follows it, he can communicate that. And what is Sambandhigyan? To know matter, spirit, and the controller of both. To understand their interrelationship. So he said someone may have a very, very deep understanding of that without not knowing many, many verses and so many subjects, etc. And he may be able to communicate that, so he can be a guru.
I was going to say, so the basic difference seems to be between, just having intellectual understanding and being able to apply that understanding. A person who...
Right, exactly. And realize it by that application.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, that Dr. Fakir Mohan, he comes to my festivals. I wonder how many more he'll come to. He's like in his mid-80s or 90s, I don't know. And he saw the Sanskrit scholars, and he said, what is the... he asked the Sanskrit, who is Shastra? Yeah, I tell him the story. Who knows the Shastra? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, very animated, he looked at it and he said, one who practices, this is one who practices. It means person is actually applying, and I can see that. I can see simple people sometimes who understand that once you surrender to Guru and Krishna, and then understand that the holy name is not different than Krishna, and then I'm thinking of one person, he really substantially chants. He's definitely not a scholar. But he can communicate something very deep about Krishna consciousness that people can appreciate, which doesn't discount that there also has to be people that can clear people's doubts and have depth of knowledge in that way, but they should also be realized, not that they just have scholarship.
And the best way to cultivate detachment so that you can apply is how?
It's not cultivating detachment, it's cultivating attachment to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way is to surrender to Guru and Krishna and under their directions apply the principles of Krishna consciousness. And therefore gradually realize them by people who are more advanced on the path than one is.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else want to say hello? Ask a question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajarane.
Hi, Bo. I got your letter. I didn't have time to respond yet. Maybe I did respond, but not fully. And I'm looking at my schedule. I'd love to come over to your family's house on Saturday. I'm just getting all the dates set. Hey. Anybody else
Thank
like
you.
To say hello? Some people write me after the class that they're shy or something. That's okay. Okay, we can end. Hare Krishna.